Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. It's time for RTWFC Bible Talk with Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood and his wife, Betty Yearwood. For the next 2 hours, join in with us in this Internet Radio Bible Discussion program. There'll be a special singing and call in and discuss the Bible with us. And now here's your host, Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood, live in Madisonville, Tennessee.
Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be able to come back into your homes once again just to lift up the name of Jesus, reaching the world for Christ. This is Lloyd and Betty Yearwood, so we're just going to minister there tonight on what the devil meant to be bad to us, why God's going to turn it around for the good for us. So if you want to call in, be a part of this, well, call in on 310-742-1759. That's 310-742-1759. And we'll put you right on the line with us here. We're just ministering the Word of God, just telling the good news about Jesus. So 706, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Hey, Brother Yearwood, it's Fruta Litchfield in Thomaston, Georgia. How you doing tonight?
Oh, we're blessed, sister. How you doing?
I know we are. I know we are. Oh, yes.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I know that. Yep, I know that. Glad to be back with y'all tonight.
Yes, good to have you back. We've been wondering about you, what's going on with you there.
Well,
have you got anything you want to obey the Lord on right now?
Well, can I do some prayer requests first, and then we can go around and see who else is on there, and then we'll go do that. I got my niece's newborn baby. She was 3 weeks Monday, had got thrashed, so let's remember her in prayer. And then I got a good friend that was having chest pains and swelling in his chest, so they had to admit him to the hospital. His name is Willie Buffin, and my niece's baby is Rachel, Lavetta, Joel, Gurkey. So let's remember them in prayer.
Okay, we sure will. You're the only ones called in right at the present time, so just go
Nobody's
ahead.
Nobody's on?
No, there'll be a calling in here.
Well, I want to give a praise report, too.
Okay, give us a praise report.
The devil has been fighting me, and that's why I hadn't been on some in the last couple of weeks, but I'm on the... I see the light, and he's guiding me and directs me on what needs to go. But I got the praise report I got. I had a high electricity bill, and he was trying to say, it's not going to get paid. Well, I showed him today. I went to one of the churches here, and they are going to pay most of it, and I got maybe another church is going to pay maybe the rest of it. So he is blessed to me. If you'll listen to what he has to say and do what he tells you to say, he will make his voice and his what he says is true will come to pass.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
That's for sure. That's what we're ministering on tonight is what
I know that's right.
meant for the bad, but God turned it around for the good for us. So that just gives the devil another black eye right there.
That most certainly does. That most certainly does. Yeah.
Okay, just go ahead and obey the Lord right there if you want to.
All right, well, nobody is here, and this is what he led on me. And it might not be what we thought, but when Brother John told me the other night what the message was, I think it was yesterday, I said, I know exactly where I'm going. Remember the time about me, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? All right, so I'm going to be reading from Daniel 3, verses 12 through 26. And this is what he told me to read. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not their gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then when Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king commanded was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is alike the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. You still there?
Amen.
See,
yeah.
When you let the Lord be in control, you see, the devil thought he had these men in that fire, furnace.
Yeah.
He didn't. Then the face of Jesus and the body of Jesus went down there with his people, and he came out, not a first hair on their head was shrinked, pinched, or their clothes wasn't even burnt. So you see,
Amen.
That's what the Lord can do for us too, just like he did in the Bible. He can take us through these temptations and overcome these situations, and then we can tell somebody else, and they'll be just as blessed as if we are back in the Bible times.
Amen. That's right.
All right, that's it.
Praise the Lord. Well, I tell you what, that's some good word, and I had them written down also, so know that we're on the same page and the same target there. I tell you what.
I tell you, it makes you feel good that he can still talk. People say he don't talk to us. He most certainly does. It might not be the way we think it's supposed to be. He can put a word or a thought in our mind, and you know if it's him, if it's something from the Bible, it's from the Lord. If it's something that's not biblical, it's from the devil. And all we have to do is say, Devil, get under my feet, stretch your feet, and say, Get out and leave me alone.
Amen.
I'm so happy. Before the program came on, I was just sitting here. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And you remember the song, Thank You, Lord, for Your Blessings on Me. So I'll sing that, and then I'll let you have it back. There's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my
Because his hour has come. And the Bible says in verse 23, and Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. It was the hour of his glory. You need to know tonight, church, it's the hour of his glory. It's after the fact that he was talking about a time, amen, that he was talking about a time that he would be suffering. The Bible says in John 13 and verse 1, it says, now there, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour would come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Jesus knew at this time, amen, that this was written, that it was his hour, amen, that he was going to depart out of the world, amen, and go to the Father. He knew, amen, that this was his hour, an hour of suffering. Amen. He knew that this was the hour, amen, as even in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he prayed and went a little stone throw farther, three times he went and prayed to the Father that it would be possible, amen, that this cup would pass from him, this cup of death that he must drink for all men. Hallelujah. But Jesus knew that this was the hour that was appointed, amen. And even though he would suffer and even though he would die, hallelujah, it was his hour of glorification. Church, you need to know tonight, amen, that the enemy has come, amen, amen, to cause you suffering. The Bible says, amen, when Pilate, hallelujah, come and he thought, amen, at the Feast of the Passover, later on when they took hold of Jesus, hallelujah, and they had these other prisoners in there, at the Feast of the Passover, well, it signified that amen, that the Passover lamb, there would be one lamb for each household that would be sacrificed, amen, and amen. In the time in the original there, amen, in the book of Exodus, we find, amen, amen, that the children of Israel, amen, and hallelujah, they had to sacrifice a lamb for each household, amen, right. And as they sacrificed the lamb, amen, the Passover lamb for each household, there was an angel of death that would come, amen, and what the signified of the feast was that the angel of death would pass over the house, and death, amen, would pass you by. You would not see death, not taste death, if you had already had the Passover lamb and the blood of the lamb applied to your house. Tonight, church, amen, Jesus Christ had to suffer and shed his blood so that on the house of God, the blood of Jesus Christ would be applied to the door of your house, the lintel of your house, so that when death came, all it could see was the blood of the lamb. And tonight, church, it's that same blood is still on the door. Because Jesus said, amen, in John chapter 10, I am the door. The blood of the, yep, Lamb is still on the door of heaven tonight, church. And you need to know tonight that death will pass over you. The enemy meant it, amen, because in the beginning of the Garden of Eden, he said he deceived Eve. He said, hallelujah, may you eat of the tree of every tree of the garden. And he said, in the tree in the midst of the garden, neither shall we eat it, neither shall we touch it, lest we die. Oh, and here comes the enemy. He said, oh, you know that is it. He said, he knows that you, as, on the day that you eat thereof, that your eyes will be open and you'll be as little gods, little G-O-D-S, and your eyes will be open, knowing good and evil. Amen. He had a device. Amen. And the Bible says we're not ignorant of his devices, church, tonight. We're not ignorant of his ways. Amen. The enemy has come to bring you to death. The scripture teaches in John chapter 10, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Hallelujah. But we know we have an advocate. We have an abundance. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I have come that ye might have life and that more abundant. The thief has come to destroy you, but Jesus has come into your life to give you not only life tonight, church, but abundant life. The enemy meant it for evil, but God has turned it around and turned it to good. But when Pilate, amen, was getting ready to release, he thought he could appease the people. He said, I find no fault in him. I'm going to scourge him. In other words, I'm going to whip him. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, and you know, the enemy, you know, would like that. He was whipping, giving him a beating. Amen. In fact, the Bible tells us by the prophet Isaiah that his visage was so marred that they were astonished. In other words, Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross, hallelujah, you have to understand what this scripture was saying. In other words, it was saying his appearance of his flesh was so beaten that they did not recognize him. He was beaten beyond recognition. Hallelujah. He had every bit of the flesh had to be crucified. This is what the enemy wanted to do. He wanted to bring him and ultimately just mutilate him and just beat him, amen, unmerciful, and that he would die. But he did not know that the plan, amen, every bit of his flesh had to be crucified on that cross, because that's the way the enemy gets to you tonight. Church, you have to hang on the cross and be crucified with Christ. For those of you that are crucified with Christ, amen, God has made a way. You don't have to literally hang on a cross tonight, but there is a cross, amen, a crucifixion, as you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. As you are crucified with him, you shall also be raised with him in glory. Hallelujah. If you suffer with him tonight, hallelujah, that's the enemy's plan, amen. But God's plan is to be glorified tonight, church. Hallelujah, amen. The devil's plan was death, but God's plan was life. And as he scourged him, amen, hallelujah, even in his scourging, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and hath carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. The wound that was on the body of Christ when he went to the cross at Calvary, those wounds you saw was for our rebellion. But those wounds, amen, would take away that rebellion, amen. Every wound you've seen in the body of Christ removed your transgression, removed your rebellion tonight, church. Hallelujah. And the Bible says he was bruised for our iniquities. Every bruise on the body of Christ, he said, when the body with Christ, it was bruised and mortified, amen, and the whole head was sick. But you need to know tonight, for you to see that was the devil's plan, amen. But the Bible says God's plan, that every bruise that was on the body of Christ, for it was for our guilt. Every bruise that you see in the body of Christ at the cross of Calvary removed your guilt, amen. It took away your guilt. And the Bible says, and a chastisement of our peace was upon him. Every correction that you've seen at the cross of Calvary, even in the death, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 22, even though he was a son, that he learned obedience by the things he suffered. You need to know that everything that was done on the cross was a finished work. It was a plan of God to bring men who had fallen, men who were full of iniquity, men who were full of transgression, amen. That plan was the enemy's plan, to take you and separate you, because you are a created work of the Lord God Almighty. But the plan of God was to bring you back, to the Lord, to pull down the wall of partition. Hallelujah, the enemy meant it for evil. But God, amen, had a plan. He said, and with his stripes, we are healed. Every stripe that was caught upon his back brought healing to your body. Every stripe upon the body of Christ will bring you healing tonight, church. You need to know, amen, because the Bible says, with his stripes we are healed. That's present. Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, saw towards the cross. We had the cross over there, and we're talking about, amen, and then 2 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes we were healed. This is a finished work. Tonight, Isaiah saw it before it happened. Peter saw it when it happened.
Amen.
You're after the fact tonight. You can enter into a finished work. There's healing tonight for you. The enemy meant for you to be sick, diseased, but God's work on the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ's work on the cross brings you healing. The Lord Jesus Christ's work on the cross brings you your guilt being removed. The Lamb of God, amen, that hung on the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world, amen, amen. Every sin was to be laid upon him, and every sin was laid upon him. Every sin that has been committed will be committed, and is right now presently and being committed, has ever been committed, was laid on the Lord Jesus Christ on that day. But he carried it. He carried the sins. Not only did he carry them, he took them away, church. He's taken away. And tonight, the blood not only covers, it takes away your sins tonight. His healing, everything that was done on the cross, amen, he's made provision for you. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, going back there, amen, to John chapter 12. He said, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, verse 24 of John chapter 12. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Jesus was talking about himself there. That corn was the seed. Jesus Christ was the seed of the woman. There was a war in heaven in Revelation chapter 12. Amen, that war in heaven, amen, the great red dragon, amen, coming after, amen, the seed of the woman. And you need to know tonight, Jesus Christ is of the seed of the woman, amen, and the Bible prophetically said that he would rule a rod of iron, amen, all nations, amen. And when that woman appeared, amen, the great red dragon, that war in heaven, amen, come out there, and God gave her a protection, amen, to abide in the wilderness for 1,260 days, amen, even as Mary, amen, amen, and as the angel of the Lord spoken unto Joseph. We have many times, amen, where men and women of God have fled into the wilderness, amen, to be preserved, amen, and hallelujah, and as they fled, amen, into Egypt, amen, because they had sent, because as the wise men, the Magi came from the east of the Orient there, they asked, where is the king of the Jews, amen, and they had asked Herod, even believing himself to be the king of the Jews, but they weren't talking about seeing Herod, oh, that we would see Jesus, amen. I don't know about you, church, tonight, but it's time, man. When do you want to see Jesus? At the hour of his glory. He said, this is the hour of the glory. And when was it? When he hung on the cross. Hallelujah, when he hung on the cross. And the Bible says, hallelujah, that corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. He was talking that he was that wheat of corn, that corn of wheat that had abided alone, but he laid down his life. The Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 1 and 2, he says that my father is the husband. He said, I'm the true vine, and my father is the husbandman. He said, except he purge it. Now, what is he doing? He had to prune it. He had to cut back. When they pruned, amen, when Jesus Christ was pruned on the cross at Calvary, amen, when he was cut off, hallelujah, and it fell to the ground. In 3 days, it rose up. And in 3 days, he bided alone, just like this corn of wheat, the seed laid, amen, amen, in the heart of the earth. But on that third day, on that resurrected morning, the Word of God says, amen, we won't go there, but in Philippians, if you get a chance to read it, and I hope you will, in Philippians chapter 3, amen, and starting with verse 7 through verse 11 there, it talked about the Apostle Paul, talked to the church of Philippi, amen, he said whatever he counted for himself, it was lost. Amen. But everything that he lost, he counted it gain. He said that I might attain unto the resurrection. Jesus Christ, Bible says in John chapter 11, when Lazarus lay in the tomb for 4 days, amen. Hallelujah. And he laid in a cave there, and he said, where have you laid him? Jesus declared unto Mary and Martha, his brothers, sisters, amen, where have you laid him? Amen. Because he had told them and declared unto them that this sickness was not unto death, but he just sleepeth. You need to know
amen.
Tonight, amen, that the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, amen, that the death, that the sleep, believers just sleep, are good for sleep in Jesus, but there's going to be an awakening. This is the hour of glory. There's an hour of glory. And on that third day, when on the resurrecting morning, when Jesus Christ, amen, coming, even Mary and Martha had an insight. And he said, where have you laid him? And she said, but Lord, by now he stinketh. He's been dead 4 days. Hallelujah. And he said, amen. The Bible said that Jesus wept because he saw the sorrow of those. He was a man of sorrow. I just read it to you out of Isaiah 53. He was acquainted with the grief. He knows your grief. We have a high priest tonight which is touched with the feeling of your infirmities. Hallelujah. He even suffers in your infirmities tonight. But you need to know tonight, amen. As he came, amen, and the Bible says that they were saying that he said, amen, roll the stone away, remove the stone, and when they moved the stone away, hallelujah, he said, do you believe that he'll be raised? Church, tonight I want to ask you something tonight. Do you believe your loved ones are being raised up right now by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm not talking about those that are living, amen, that are literally walking around alive, but yet they're dead because they're walking in place. Amen, where the stones have covered their hearts. But I'm telling you tonight, there's a Lord Jesus Christ who has been there. He has the keys to death and hell. He's already been with your loved ones. Amen. Those lost loved ones are good. But tonight, maybe you don't know this one called Jesus. Amen. Maybe the devil has you meant for evil. But I'm telling you tonight, this broadcast is meant for your good. This is a good work because the Word of God is going forth. And with the works that Jesus Christ done on Calvary, body is a resurrecting power. When he told Mary and Martha, he said, do you believe that your brother shall raise up? And she said, yes, I know he will in the last days. In fact, well, if you've been here, he would not have died. You need to know something. The Lord is omnipotent. He's everywhere. He was there, just like, man, I didn't get a chance to be on the broadcast, but he was the Son of Man that was already in the fire, just like Sister Peter brought out. He was already there before he got there. You need to know that Psalm 139, verse 9 and 10. Honey, tonight, if you take wings, God is there. If you make your bed in hell, God is already there. He's already been there, and you need to know something tonight. He went before you, amen, tonight. Hallelujah. You need to know you can't get away from him. And we find out tonight, he said, do you believe? And he said, I know he's going to be. He said, I am the resurrection. Tonight, you can attain unto the resurrection, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. The enemy made him, amen, to hang on that cross, to die, amen, and it would be all over. He'd be victorious, amen. He would have won, amen, hallelujah. But you need to know tonight, the Bible says in John chapter 12, verse 25, if he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it until life eternal. If you give your life, if you lay down your life right now, and give it to Jesus right now.
Yeah.
Who do I give it to? You give it to Jesus. He gave his life. He gave his life for you that you might have life, that eternal life. And the Bible says, he that loves his life shall lose it. But he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it until life eternal. Tonight, if you hold on to your own life, you have your life at the end there. Your life is not sufficient tonight, church. The works are not sufficient tonight. You're not saved by works, lest any man should boast. You're only saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to be born again. The Bible says in John chapter 3, Nicodemus come to him, and he was a ruler in all Israel. He said, we know that you're a man of God. No one can do the miracles. But he said, except you be born again, you won't even see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus didn't understand. These things are spiritual. And Nicodemus didn't understand. Nicodemus thought that he would have to go back into his mother's womb. It's not going back into your mother's womb, amen. But it's being born again by the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit. The only way you can be born in it, the only way you can even see the kingdom of God, the rule of God in your life tonight, is to be born into it. You must be born again by the water and by the Spirit. God will send, amen. That's his promise. It comes through the Son. It only comes through the Son tonight, church. He said, I will send unto you another Comforter. Amen. Amen. Whom the Father will send in my name. It's in the authority and power of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. You can be baptized in the Holy Ghost tonight, right there where you're sitting, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your situation, no matter how much it is. Maybe the enemy's got you in a furnace, in the fire of the furnace. Maybe you're getting in a fiery trial. Maybe you're in the deep, as Jonah was. Maybe you're, amen, hallelujah. Maybe you're going through the flood. Amen. Maybe the enemy's coming into your life like a flood. You need to know tonight that when the enemy comes in like a flood, just like it says in Isaiah chapter 59, that the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard. The enemy means it for evil, but God means it for good. Amen. Greater is he that's within you tonight, church, than he that's in the world.
Yes.
But he said, if any man, verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him with my Father honor. If there's any of you tonight that will serve the Lord Jesus, how do you serve Jesus Christ? Follow him. How do you follow? You got to be where he said, where I am, you may be also. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you, John chapter 14. You need to know tonight, amen. And it's not only in the heavenly places, it's not only in the mansions, amen, that's in the Father's house. But God is preparing, Jesus Christ is preparing a way, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. John chapter 14, verse 6. The Word of God in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. John chapter 1, verse 1, and the Word was God. And you need to know tonight that Jesus Christ is God, who is preparing a place for you to bring even redeemed back under himself. Hallelujah. And you need to know tonight that you need to follow him. How do you follow him? You follow him in his word. You follow him in his spirit. You have to be born again. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, he said, thou is my soul trouble. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into this hour. He said, what shall I say? He said, I'm troubled in my spirit. Father, save me from this hour. But what shall I say? This is the very hour I came for. Jesus Christ could not be saved for the very hour. He said, this is my hour of glory. This is my hour to step up. This is my hour. What hour is this glory? The Bible says in verse 28, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. You need to know tonight, you know, the scriptures teach us, amen, hallelujah. I said before, it's talking about John chapter 3. Amen. Talking about being born again, talking about being lifted up, talking about, amen, that he even asked him there in John chapter 3, verse 10, he said, art thou master of Israel, knoweth not these things, don't you know about being born again? He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, verse 11, unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. In other words, he had already been talking to him about earthly things. And he did not know, he had not seen, he didn't understand. And he started talking to him about spiritual things. Someone who is earthly minded, someone who is carnal minded cannot know and understand the things of the earth. So tonight you have to allow, amen, the enemy, amen, in the Garden of Eden, when you bring in, have a mind and have a knowledge of good and evil to destroy you, to bring death into your life, unto yourself. But tonight, amen, there's a redemption plan, amen, and it's, the name of it is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in verse 12, he said, if I have told you earthly things, you believe not. How shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? How far above the heavens and the earth? Amen. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. As far as the heavens is above the earth are the thoughts of God. And no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. He was talking about himself. He said no man came down from heaven but he that which came down from heaven. He was that bread of life. He was the Son of Man that came down in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. In other words, he would be lifted up on a cross. He would be crucified. Amen. That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Just like the brazen serpent, Nahshatan was lived up, amen. The fiery serpent came in and bit the children of Israel because they didn't believe, amen. They didn't know what God had kept them from. Church, tonight, you don't have no idea what the hand of God, the hedge of God, has kept you from. How many times death has come and the enemy meant it for evil, but God has meant it for good. You have protectors, amen. You have ministering spirits all around you. And you need to know tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ, he said that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It takes belief. It takes faith tonight in the only begotten Son of the Lord Jesus Christ, or God the Father. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Tonight, you need to know, the Father sent the Son for one purpose, to redeem his creation, his sons and daughters back to him. He didn't send him to judge you or condemn you, but he sent that you would have everlasting life. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already. Church, tonight you need to know something. Underneath the sound of my voice, if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what? You're condemned already. You're condemned already. Condemnation has already come. Judgment has already come. Mm-hmm. You brought judgment upon your own self because that's the judgment of man. If you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to know tonight, there's no other name given among men whereby I must be saved. There's no other one that can save you tonight but the Lord Jesus Christ. He and he alone is the Lord and Christ, whom they crucified. Hallelujah. It was his hour of glory, according to his own word, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. There's only one begotten Son of God, and his name is Jesus tonight. Do you believe in him? Will you be his disciple? When you get in the plan of salvation tonight, and the Bible says, going back to John chapter 12, and it says that there came there a voice from heaven saying, at 28, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. In other words, God the Father spoke out of heaven again. Multiple times the Father spoke, and he said, I've glorified it, Son, and will glorify it again. People therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said it, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Now has come the judgment of this world, this present world, amen. Greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. He is the prince of this world. Satan is the god of this world. But he said, now has come the judgment. When he's hung on the cross, now will come the judgment. And he said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. That was that corn of wheat that fell to the ground. Mm-hmm. If it didn't fall, it abides alone.
Yeah.
Amen.
You need to know tonight, amen, you have a chance and you have an opportunity right now. I'm going to give you more scripture. I'm going to give it back to Brother Yearwood. But right now, an opportunity all over this world, all over this globe right now. You have an opportunity right now to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You have an opportunity right now to receive. And even though, amen, you have come and you are the seed of woman tonight. Every man, woman, boy, child, boy, girl, you need to know tonight there's an opportunity right now to be born again and see the kingdom of God. Not only to see the kingdom of God, but see this one called Jesus. Let him be. He's the only plan. Amen. He's the only plan. Amen. Amen. Here in America, many people are signing up for our president's health care, but I know about a higher care tonight. And he said, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. You need to know that there's a higher plan than even the president's plan tonight, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the salvation plan tonight, church.
Amen.
And all over right now, all you have to do is believe in him. He's been lifted up. You have to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That comes through the cross. This is his hour, amen, of glory when he hung on the cross. He said this, he said, verse 33, signifying what death he should die. In other words, he's going to die a death of Calvary, on Calvary, Golgotha, the place of the skull. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. In other words, they had heard out of Psalms, and they had heard out of, in Psalms 89, 36, they had heard out of Psalms 110, and verse 4, it said, thou art forever after the order of a priest, after the order of Melchizedek. In other words, you had no beginning and no ending. He said, the Son of Man, how sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then said Jesus unto them, you know, the law is the light with you. Walk while you have the light. Church, tonight, that light is Jesus Christ. You have him right now. You have the opportunity right now to receive the light of the world. You have an opportunity right now to quit walking in your darkness. Satan is the prince of darkness. And you need to know he's the ruler, along with him and his others that have fallen with him, amen, and been around him and his followers, they are rulers of darkness. There's principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what it says in Ephesians chapter 6. But tonight, right now, you have an opportunity to walk in the light that you don't have to stumble. You have an opportunity to come to the light. So walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goes. Let me ask you something tonight. Do you know where you're going tonight? The only way you can know where you're going is to walk in the light. And Jesus said, and the way you know, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's only one way back to the Father tonight, church. There's only one salvation plan. Satan, the hostile opponent, meant to destroy you, meant to be your enemy. He meant, but when they hung him on the cross, they beat him beyond recognition. They pierced his side. And here's the witness, bringing forth water, blood, and the Spirit. They crucified him, put nails through his feet and through his hand, hung him on a cross. Asphyxiation. At that time, they would break their legs at about the end so that they couldn't push up anymore. But Jesus had already laid down his life. They were amazed that he was dead already. Oh, they didn't take his life. He laid it down so that he could pick it up. On the third day, he picked it back up. And you know what? That same life is in you tonight. That same opportunity is in you tonight. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of the light. Tonight, you can have the children of light. Or walk in darkness for the rest of your life and gross darkness. You have to understand tonight, if you don't receive it, and not only tonight, but before your death comes, before Satan's plan comes upon your own life personally, you have the opportunity right now. Don't put off tomorrow. I don't care. Young people, old people, no matter what age, no matter what condition you are, you can be a weightlifter, you can be a football player, you can be the point that a man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. Right now is the opportunity. Your salvation is nearer than you believe. There's no one strong. There's no one beyond it. There's no one that can pass it by. Tonight, it doesn't make a difference whether you believe it or not. It's going to come upon you. I can prophesy that to you right now. That's going to come upon you. But you know what? You can see death. Those of you that believe tonight, those of you that be crucified, those of you that have the hour of glory, those of you that will come and sign up for God's plan, the redemption plan, the salvation plan. Amen. Hallelujah. And those navigators, and that navigators is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's these ministers tonight having you. And you know what? It doesn't cost you a thing. It doesn't cost you anything because you have been bought with a price. Amen. This health plan, this safety plan, this salvation plan is not costing you a thing because you've been already been paid for by the blood of Jesus. We accept it, free to give, free to receive. Amen. The hour has come. We be glorified with the Lord Jesus Christ. Go ahead, Brother Yearwood.
Amen. Appreciate that, Brother John. That wonderful word of God there. So, anybody want to call in on 310-742-1759. We'll put you on the line here with us. Brother Green? I've got another call in here. I'm going to check and see who they are, then let Tim play a song, then I'll get you on there, Brother Green. 912, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Hello, this is Missionary Franklin Bennett, Nahanna, Georgia.
Oh, praise the Lord, Brother Bennett. Glad you called in there tonight. I'll let Tim sing a song here, then we'll get Brother Green in there. Then I don't know if Sister Green get in there or not. If she does, well, then we'll get you on there after that. Just hang in there with us.
All right, we're hanging in.
Go ahead, Tim. Praise you.
Working for my good. Working for my good. Life was commonplace, it seemed, full of ordinary things. I was wondering where the roads would lead. Then I looked into His Word, and my suspicions were confirmed. He was doing things I could not see. Just for me, He was working for my good, all on my behalf. God in every step, finding out my path. Planning out my days, putting me together, molding me to play, making something better before I understood. He was working for my good. You and I are in His hands. He's building from the master plan. He's making sure the pieces fit just right. Working from the inside out, and when He's done, there'll be no doubt. We will be just what He had in mind. All the time, He was working for my good, all on my behalf. Guiding every step, finding out my path, planning out my days, putting me together, molding me to play, making something better. Before I understood, He was working for my good. Molding and making, cutting and shaping like He said He would. He's pressing and turning, carefully working all things for my good, for my good. He was working for my good, all on my behalf, guiding every step, lining up my path. Planning out my day, putting me together, molding me from clay, making something better before I understood. He was working for my good. Before I understood, He was working for my good.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. Praise the Lord. Brother Green?
Yeah.
Just go ahead and obey the Lord there, you and Sister Green.
All right. Praise God. I was just thinking, you know, listening to Brother John, that was an awesome message that he preached tonight. And I tell you,
amen.
I missed a little bit of the first part of the program, but I'm glad I got in on that message. You know, God is working all things together for good to them that love Him. Praise God.
Amen.
I believe that's found. I forget where that's found right now. Seems like Romans chapter 8, maybe. But God is trying to work things together to help us. Praise God. Jesus went to that cross because man was lost, and there was no remedy for sin, and there was no payment that could be paid that would have paid the price. But Jesus said, I'll go. And, you know, he went. He said, I think it's Hebrews chapter 1. He said, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. So I believe they in the beginning, they made up their mind. You know, they talked it over, and eternity passed, and they came up to a conclusion and said, we've got a way to redeem man when they fall. And he placed that man, Adam, in the garden, and that man fell, him and his wife, Eve. She partook of that fruit, and she gave to her husband also, and he ate of the fruit, and sin passed upon all men, and there was no remedy. And the Bible said, cursed is everyone, and I believe it's in the book of Deuteronomy, everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon on the Gentiles. Praise God. Over there in Galatians 3:13, I believe it is, Paul made that statement about Christ hanging on that tree to bring a man back to God and to destroy the works of the devil. Praise God. He was came down here. Christ put on flesh and came down here to destroy the works of the devil. And he overcame the devil. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He went back to the Father, sent back that Comforter. It was working things out for good. Praise God, to them that love God, to them are the called according to his purpose. See, God wants us to come to him, and he wants us to heed the call. He wants us to turn whatever's going wrong in our life, he wants to turn it around for good. He wants to turn a bad situation into a good situation. Praise God. And praise God, it's good to be with you. I won't say too much tonight, but I was thinking about Jonah. Praise God. You know, Jonah, God told Jonah, he said, Jonah, he said, go down there to Nineveh. He said, go down there and preach. And he told Jonah, he said, tell them 40 days, and I'm going to destroy this city. I'm going to overthrow this city in 40 days. And, you know, Jonah, he didn't want to obey God. Jonah ran. And, you know, Jonah Amen. Didn't run toward God. He ran away from God. He got on that boat and was going the wrong way, and he was hiding from God, or thought he was. And he said, I'm not going to obey God. And he said that not with words, but he said that with his actions, because he went the wrong way and he ran the other way. And he hid himself, praise God, in that ship, praise God. He went down to Tarshish there, and, you know, went down into Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, the Bible said, and he went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he was running from God. He was going away from God. But, you know, God had a plan, and in that plan, it was God's plan to spare Nineveh. That's what God wanted to do. It's not God's will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And tonight, you know, if you're away from God, well, I encourage you tonight to get to God, to find you a place, find you an altar, find you a church that preaches Jesus Christ and him crucified, and preaches the death, burial, and the resurrection. Find a church that'll pray for you, and a church that'll preach the gospel of salvation, a church that'll preach the whole counsel of God, and find you that church. Praise God. Praise God. And get in that church and work for God and give your life to Christ and take up the cross and follow Christ. Praise God, for payday's coming one day, and there's going to be a payment for what we've done in this life, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Excuse me. Praise God. Having a little trouble with my throat. Want y'all to be praying for me. Praise God. But I want you to know God is a healer tonight. He went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed to the devil, for God was with him. See, God is a good God. I want you to know that God wanted to spare Nineveh. It wasn't so much about Jonah, but it was about Nineveh, that God put that pressure on Jonah. You know, the devil would have killed him if he could, but he couldn't do it because God had a plan for Jonah.
Amen.
And the Bible said all things work together for good. Praise God to them that love God, to them that they called. And I want you to know that Jonah was called of God. And Jonah was a prophet of God. And Jonah was a mighty man of God. And Jonah was a praying man. The Bible said when he got in that fish's belly, they threw him into that water. Praise God, throwed him overboard because he was the problem. And they threw him into that water, praise God, and a great fish swallowed Jonah. But that old fish had to give him up because God had a plan for him. And maybe the devil's got you in a trap tonight, but that trap's going to have to be broken, praise God. If you keep praying, Jonah prayed. The Bible said he prayed. He said, out of the belly of hell cried I. He went down into the sea and down to the depths of the sea. He went as low as a person could ever go. But you know what? God brought him back up out of that situation. And that old fish had to spit him out on dry land. Praise God. Had a little trouble preaching tonight, but I'm telling you, God is our helper tonight. He's our refuge in the time of the storm and the rock. In the weary land, and I run to Jesus when I need something. I don't run to people that can't do me no good, but I run to Jesus, and He's our helper tonight. He's the deliverer tonight. Praise God. You know, we can help one another sometimes, but there's only so much help that we can give one another. There's only so much help you can get from the doctor and so much help you can get from the lawyer and you can get from the banker or whoever it is you need. But I'll tell you, there's help unlimited when we go to God. If we can tap into that, those resources of heaven, I'll tell you, we can tap into that. We can find what we need. He took care of those Hebrew children there in the wilderness for 40 years and fed them. They never went hungry, and their children never died, praise God, but they grew and became strong and later entered into the promised land, praise God. But I want you to know God loves you tonight, and He wants to turn bad situations around. He turned a bad situation around for Nineveh, praise God. He turned that situation around, and He used Jonah to do it. And Jonah entered into that there city. Man. I believe it was a day's journey, and began to preach. And he preached, praise God. God said, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah rose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, praise God, of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Praise God. And it says here in verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast. It goes on down in verse 6, says that the king laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man or beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Praise God. So this old king, he repented. These people repented. They believed God, the Bible said. They believed what Jonah was preaching to them. No doubt somebody might have been standing on the bank when that old fish come by there, and it spit him out on the bank. They no doubt ran. There's probably a group of people standing there, fishermen fishing, and this here great fish spit this man out on the bank, and they went running into that city and saying, you ought to see what happened down there at the river, at the bank of the sea down there today. Said a great fish spit this man out, and he's coming this way. And when he got into that city, he began to preach, and he preached that 40 days God was going to overthrow that city. Now I believe they didn't need no credentials to say, what college did you come from, Jonah? They didn't need to see his identification to see what kind of a person he was. Praise God. But I believe they said, this is a man come. This is a man come on a mission. This is a man sent from God. Praise God. And they believed
Amen.
What he had to say, and they repented. But old Jonah got mad, didn't he? Went up on the hill and sat to see what would happen. But you know, God spared Nineveh. Praise God. And in chapter 4, the Bible said here in verse 9, and God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. So he got up on that hill, watching the city, and God caused the gourd to grow up and to shade him so he wouldn't be burnt from the sun, praise God. But then he caused the worm to eat that, kill that there gourd, and it withered, praise God. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh? This is a part I want you to hear in verse 11 of chapter 4. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. See, God, he even cared for the cattle. He didn't even want to destroy the cattle. But if they had not repented, there would have been something bad happened to that city. I think it might have been like Sodom and Gomorrah when fire come down from God out of heaven and destroyed that city with fire and brimstone. And I tell you, people need to repent, because there's coming a day when there's going to be a people that's going to be thrown into the lake of fire. The Bible says there that there is a lake which is called the second death, and I don't want to go there, praise God. You know, they sang a song, there's fire down yonder, and I don't want to go. So I'm just warning you tonight out there, if you're not saved, and if you are saved, I want you to continue to go and serve the Lord, and do the bidding that God bids you to do. Don't be like Jonah that turned and ran from God. Praise God. A lot of people's running from God tonight. Praise God. I'll tell you, it's time not to run from God, but it's time to run to God. And I'll turn it back to you, Brother Yearwood. Thank you for allowing us to be on tonight.
Amen. Appreciate you, Brother Green. Is Sister Green going to obey the Lord?
Here she comes. Maybe she does have something.
Praise God, Brother Yearwood. Good to be with you. I was just thinking, I always have something good to say about the Lord that we serve. He's a living God. He's the creator. But I want to allow this time for our Brother Franklin Bennett. The Bible says, prefer your brother. And, you know, he doesn't get a chance to be with us all the time. So I want my time to go to him, Brother Yearwood. Thank you.
Okay, God bless you. We appreciate you. So, Brother Bennett.
Hey, well, hallelujah.
Go ahead and obey the Lord there, brother.
Well, I was thinking about... Go ahead.
The title of the message there, what we're preaching on tonight, is what the devil meant for bad, God will turn it around for the good.
Yeah, so, and actually...
go ahead and obey the Lord.
I've been thinking about that. Well, I've been thinking about what y'all saying, and I'm actually a little bit excited about it, because it's so true that
Man.
God would turn things around. It's so true that he would do it. So many times, myself and my wife, we have faced so hard a situation, and God would somehow turn everything around that was against us and turn it into something that was in our favor.
Amen.
And One of the things that I was thinking about while Brother Green was speaking was in 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, the 5th verse, it said, "But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, Master, for it was barred. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down the stick and cast it in, and the iron did swim. Therefore
Amen.
Said he, Take it up to thee, and he put out his hand and took it." See, there was an example of something about to be bad. Back in those days, if you borrowed something from someone, you could go to prison if you couldn't return it. It was a very serious thing. So it was something that was bad. It was a bad thing. But God floated that axe head up to the top of that water, and now the testimony of this event is still taking place in the written word of God today.
Amen.
And so what was meant to be a bad thing to happen, look at the good. How many messages, how many words of God have been preached on the bad events that turned out to be good that's recorded in the Bible? Brother Green just talked about one, and the brother before him, and I didn't get all of his message, but I don't know how many messages I have heard from the pulpit of how men would go out and so many bad things would happen to them, and God would turn it around. He would turn the situation around for the man of God or for the woman of God. It's a very well-known thing that God is on the side of his people. And those people who are always scratching their head and who are always wondering what are they supposed to do, they should. It's a simple fix. The fix is to cry out to the God who created them. Instead of, in any, look, if you need money for a house, most people go down to the bank who makes those kind of loans. So
Amen.
You go to the ones that do those things. If you need a car, you go to a car lot. If you need groceries, you go to the grocery store. If you need something spiritual, there's not but one place that I know that you can go to be satisfied, and that's either God or Satan. And if a person is evil, well, naturally they're going to go to the evil side, and it's just a common thing that we see. I've been noticing more and more and more how church, we talked about church folks a while ago, and I've seen so many comments about the church is doing this and the church is doing that. And in all reality, the church is actually not the church of God, is not. The active, the elect of God, the people of God that's filled with the Holy Ghost in all truth, I believe that these people are busy. I believe that the Holy Ghost is still speaking to people.
Yes.
And I believe that the Holy Ghost is still telling people to preach. And I still believe that the Holy Ghost is preaching through people. And I don't go and I don't buy the fact that God is not moving in the church. God is moving in the church. The people are
Amen.
Just not responding to what God is doing.
Amen.
And God is moving because there are some people, Brother Yearwood, that God is blessing. And
Amen.
There's some people that the Holy Ghost is falling on. And there's some people that's casting out devils. And there's
Amen.
Some people that's laying hands on the sick and they're recovering. And there's some people that's standing there to fight against the devil over a soul that's standing in the balance of heaven and hell. There's some people
Yeah.
that are still obeying the word of God. And for those people that do obey God, they will be the ones that come out victorious in every event other something bad that happens to them. Everything bad that happens to the child of God that is seriously serving and following God, God will use it to bless that child of God every time. He will not allow Satan and his bullying to beat up on a child of God and get by with it. It's not going to happen. The devil will not get no glory about the things that he does to God's people, but God's people are they need to understand. Every one of us need to understand. We talked about this earlier today, Brother Yearwood, that the devil, he's been deceiving people for thousands of years. He's not new at this.
No.
We come into the world and we get born again into the. We live in our lifetime, say if we live 100 years. Well, how long is 100 years? When we're born, the devil was already here doing his thing. While
Amen.
We lived here, the devil was here doing his thing. And when we die, the devil will be here doing his thing right on. And
Amen.
He will be learning from every one of us. You and me, he's learning more and more and more, especially the children of God that's baptized in the Holy Ghost. That rascal has gotten so good at deceiving the Holy Ghost-filled people that he almost keeps them in depression. And he almost keeps them full of diseases and sicknesses. And he keeps
Man.
Them in a place of fear all the time. I see so many, even my own wife, so many times tells me, I'm scared to do this. I'm scared to do that. And I tell her there's nothing about God's business that we need to be scared of. We don't have
Amen.
To be scared of nothing that God has told us to go do. We should just go and do it. Obey what God has said for us to do. The written word, the balance of God's word is in our life and what we do.
Amen.
The way that we take his word and apply it to our lives will show what God is in this land. And the whole world is waiting. They're crying and they're moaning and they're waiting on you and me, Brother Yearwood and Brother Green and his wife and that other brother that was on earlier. They're waiting for God to manifest through people like us to show them the real truth about God and the real
Amen.
Way to follow God. There's a lot of preaching on the televisions, and you see that the majority of the people have now became satisfied with sitting around the house, drinking a cup of coffee, listening to the minister, Joel Osteen, or John Hagee, or Andrew Womack, or any of these ministers that are on television. But the problem with these things is, it's good if you are sick and you are disabled to stay at home and to listen to the messages of God on the television. There's not a thing wrong or to be condemned about for that. But there's too many people now that say Joel Osteen's my pastor, but they live 10,000 miles or 2,000 miles or 500 miles away from Joel Osteen's church. Joel Osteen mm-hmm. cannot be a pastor of a person that's not going to his church. He can be an electronic pastor.
Amen.
But let me tell you something. These people are forgetting the fact that God said to have fellowship with the believers of such
Amen.
Like faith.
Mm-hmm.
We will dry up. You take a log out by itself. It doesn't matter how many fires is burning around that log. That log will go out unless you put more logs on that fire.
Amen.
Amen.
It does not matter how many fires is around. You take a single log out there, and it cannot remain flaming on its own very long. I mean, it can burn for some time. You can take a piece of fat lighter, if you know what that is, pine heart. And I do it all the time on my land here. I break it up and I burn it. And I take one stick, and I light it at the bottom, and I'll stand it up. And it'll burn 30 minutes. For 30 minutes, I've got a really good, but after a while, it'll just burn itself out, and I'll still have a real big piece of that stick left over. It will not burn itself out. It will not consume itself up on its own. You have to put more fire there with it. You have to put more logs there with it. You have to go to where the believers are to keep your fire going. It doesn't matter. It don't matter what nobody says. It's not scriptural to sit at home and be satisfied with the television preacher.
Amen,
it's
brother.
Perfectly, it's okay. It's not scriptural for us to be satisfied with the radio preacher or a computer preacher or any of these things. We need to fellowship with each other.
Amen.
And we need to submit
Amen.
To each other. And we need mm-hmm. to be in a position where we have to give accountability to one another so that we can be strengthened. Who is going to see me in a fault if I'm not going where the children of God is?
Nobody.
How can Joel Osteen tell me if I'm doing something wrong by me watching the television?
Nobody.
Nobody can correct me if I'm doing wrong, and nobody can correct you if you're doing wrong if you don't see that correction that's needed yourself. We sometimes get distracted, and we need somebody to point us back. There was a lady speaking with me today. I know her as Carol. That's what I'm going to say, is Carol. And I'm not going to say her last name. But she's a good woman, and she prays a lot, and she's very deep in the knowledge of the scriptures, but she is so lonesome that this young man or this fella around her age, she's a senior citizen, actually, so a gray-headed man, actually, got up with her and smooth-talked her right into the bedroom. And all, and now she's having to live with the guilt of this. And where is this guy? And see, that's not the kind of fellowship we need.
Oh.
She told me he was giving her all kinds of scriptures and convinced her that he was right, that it was okay. I've been trying to figure out, ever since I spoke with her today, what kind of scriptures did that man give to that woman that would persuade her that it was okay for her to go to bed with him outside of marriage. Now, there is no scripture that I know of that will permit that. And so we get sidetracked, every one of us. This lady, I had to tell her today, she said, well, I'm going to just not have anything to do with this guy. I said, I'm not telling you not to have anything to do with this guy, but I'm certainly going to tell you that this relationship, this sexual relationship, has got to come to an end, sister, or you are backslid and you cannot go to heaven in this condition. People
Amen.
Can go to heaven going to bed with each other, going to bed with somebody else, and they can't go to heaven stealing, and they can't go to
Amen.
Heaven being a drunk or all doped up on some kind of drug. You can't go to heaven doing these things. I don't care what the illusion is. If the illusion is that you can get closer to God, let me tell you something. God will turn all these things around for our good, but we must be children of God for it to work out for our good.
Amen.
I don't know of anybody that's doing evil that evil turns out for them good. I just don't know of anybody who lives an evil life that their evil life turns out for them good without there's some repentance in their life, some kind of change coming into their life, some kind of calling on to God in their life. And when we call on to God, then like this man that had that axe beam that fell, he cried and said, I lost, Master. It was barred. He cried out to the man of God.
Amen.
You know, his situation. He cried out to the man of God. If we do something wrong, we should cry out to God, and we should and let God. Then God can turn that around. But while let me just tell it like this: if a person is in sin, and he, when I say in sin, I mean unconfessed, unrepented man or woman that don't have Jesus Christ as their Savior, they can't confess that Jesus Christ is their Savior and their Lord. That person, if that person cries out to God, that person can, God can take every evil thing in that man's past and turn it around and make him a minister of the gospel, using every evil thing that was done as an experience and as a message to everybody else that may be going through some of the same things that he went through.
Amen.
Amen.
But we must allow God. We must allow God. And we must also understand that we have to tell people, just like Brother Green and the other brother before has said, Jesus Christ is the only answer, no matter which way we go.
Amen.
There is no other answer for a way out off of this planet, period. There is no other answer for our salvation. Why? You know, I've been thinking, I was talking to someone just a little while back, and they couldn't figure out why did Jesus die for them. I know he loves us, they said, but why did Jesus have to die for our sins? They don't understand that God, at the beginning, had spoken death upon anyone who sins.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke death. He said, whoever does this shall die.
Yeah.
And after some time, then he allowed sacrifices to be made for the sins, because finally he had mercy on the people, but he still had to require a life for the sin, because he had spoken the word, a life must be taken if the sin is committed.
Amen.
Blood must be shed. So that's why Jesus died, is because sin abounded in the world, and he got sick of the smell of the sacrifices from the animals. I have to believe it with all of my heart that the temple of God had to be one. No wonder they had to burn so many incenses in the temple of God, because the blood sacrifices, how much blood was spilled on those altars in those temples. And I don't know if you ever smelled anything dead or not, but that stuff don't smell good at all. It's a horrible smell. But Jesus Christ, he paid that price once and for all, so that no more blood sacrifices would have to be given. He said, once and for all mankind, I will send my own son into the world, and I will shed his blood, and his blood will be the atonement for all the sins, the past, the present, and the future, of everyone that comes to know who I am, that will come to me. So God made it himself, the sacrifice, so that you and me could be forgiven for our sins. And God turned even our sins around for our own good by coming and dying on the cross for us through his son, Jesus Christ. He made a way for each one of us, that we could know who he was. And he made a way for each one of us to tap in to the power of God. You know, God is not a God of weakness. And those people who say, oh, what I'm going to do, the devil's after me. Why don't you kick that devil in the teeth?
Amen.
You know, kick that devil in the teeth. There's no reason why the children of God should be sitting around their house whining and crying and wondering where the money's going to come from for their bills. I don't buy that stuff not one minute. Let me tell you something. God is my witness. The harder things get, the shout gets louder with me, because I have learned that the harder it gets, the better the victory it is, because I know God will not forsake me. He will not leave me. He will not abandon me. He will not turn me over to nothing. He will keep me. He will make sure that he will finish the work that he has started in me, and he will finish the work that he started in you. There's no reason why anyone today should sit around and cry out in fear, wondering what they're going to do, because God has made a way for everyone that will only believe. The fix for every problem is as simple as that. Only believe. Only believe. In the moment that we believe, our answer can be taken care of. Our problems can be solved. My car broke down, and then I was told that I couldn't use that car no more. And I prayed for 3 days. And a man down in Florida called me and says, brother, I have a car here. We want to give it to a minister of the gospel, and your name comes to us that we should give this car to you. Do you have a need for a car? I said, I sure do. Praise God. I went down there and I got this car. and I've drove it all over the place. I've had very little trouble with it. And at one time, going to Oklahoma, I had the heater coil went bad in it. But let me tell you something. God has given us a car. And now we have a truck. And now we have a camper. And we have a small utility trailer back there. All God has gave to us. Because we waited and we waited with a shout that God will do it. God will do it. God will do it. And
Amen.
God did it. God did it. And he's still doing it.
Amen.
Amen.
We're believing God right now. We're believing God for right here on this land here in Nahana. It's just it's out in the forest. It's joined to the hunting club. The hunters are beginning to come in now. I guess there must be 10,000 acres of hunting clubs around here. And our land joins one of the largest ones of them. But I don't go hunting out there or nothing. But the thing is we got this land here, and we are we're praying now that this will be called the healing ground. We are asking for God to heal anyone who has the faith to come this far in this forest.
Amen.
For their miracle. Whatever their miracle is, they can come here and they can camp and they can pray and they can fast and they can seek God. And I would join them and agree with them, and we believe that God would heal the incurable diseases. I'm not talking about sicknesses that you can go to the doctor and get fixed with. I'm praying, and I'm saying it by faith right now on this broadcast, that God will heal the incurables.
Yes,
I believe with all of my heart. And those that are possessed by devils, they can't be controlled by no other means. I believe if they will believe with me and bring them to this property, that God will heal them. That God will turn all their evil and all of their bad into something good and marvelous. And I say that with confidence because of what? Because of his written word.
Amen.
Brother Yearwood, he promises us in his word, all things work together for the good to them that love God.
Amen.
To them that love God. Mm-hmm. It's not for everybody.
Nope.
God, the Holy Ghost, is watching everything that's going on. Let me tell you something. If Sister Green and Brother Green and Brother Yearwood and Sister Yearwood, if God knows how many hair is on our head, he knows who we love in our hearts.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
I don't think we can hide our love for God from God.
No, we can't.
Amen.
I believe that if you tried, no matter how quiet you are and no matter how unseen you may make yourself, God will expose you to the world if you love him.
Amen.
He will expose you. He will put you in a place where you have to testify.
Yep.
He'll put you in a place where your life will be a witness to someone.
Yeah.
God will expose you as someone who believes in him, even if you try to hide, because God is so looking for people to trust him and believe him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hey, he's looking in every crack and cranny. He said, go into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. Bring in those that's in the wheelchair. Bring in those that's walking on crutches. Bring in the blind. Bring in all these people. Fill my house with people. Fill my house. Fill my house. God's will is to save everybody. And now, let me just say this. My wife has come over here from India. She's been here about 3.5 months like that. And she is so nervous about being in America. And you would think that that would be natural. But do you know what's made her nervous? Let me tell you. What's made her nervous is the moral values is in the trash can in America.
Right.
Indian nation, yeah, only 3% of that country is Christians. The rest of the people serve idols and stuff. But did you know that the moral value of India surpasses America so far that you can't even see America? The moral values of the Indian people is so much better than this country. My wife is scared to walk out in public anywhere. Over in India, she can walk freely any time of the night or day. In this country, she's scared to walk down the road because of the violence that's going on in this country and the evil and the guns. And there's nothing wrong with having a gun if you want it for the right reasons. This is okay. But the problem with it is people are being murdered and killed, and they're being stabbed, and all these things. They're overdosing on drugs. Drug lords are taking over neighborhoods. All these kind of things are taking place in this country. This country is a disgrace.
Yes,
my wife comes over here, and she thinks that she's got off. The airline has made a bad mistake. They've landed her into the land of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And I told her that they did. That this country is a land of the beast anymore. They even call the president's car the beast.
Oh,
why
yeah.
in the world? Yeah, look. It's look on any computer you want to. What do they call the president's car? Just look at the beast and look what comes up on it. His car, his limousine. They call it the beast. I don't like that. That they're calling the vehicle that transports the United States president, the In God We Trust nation supposed to be, the beast. They're calling it, and it's, yeah, you can see it. It's right there. It's on YouTube. It's on any computer. You just look on there, the beast. And you'll see the president's limousine. What's his name? The reason why I'm bringing all that up is this nation is a nation that is going to be brought before God in a bad way. God is going to call this nation into remembrance.
Right.
It won't be very long now. And we think that we've had some... This nation deserves whatever it gets, brother.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
It does. It deserves whatever it gets as far as what God is going to do, what God has got in mind for this nation, for the way that they have aborted babies and how they are given same-sex marriages permissions. And they're on in a country that says, "In God we trust," on our dollar bill for men to marry men and women to marry women. I don't believe that all things are going to work together for the good for these people.
Amen.
But
there ain't no way.
No, but for the people that love God.
That's right.
For those that's listening to this broadcast right now that have a heart for God, you cannot shake God away from you. God will not leave you. God will not forsake those that love him. God will never turn his back on not one that believes in him. God will never do it. He will never disgrace his own word by turning his back on a believer. He will not do it. But in this world that we're living in, we must understand that this is a dark time.
Mm-hmm.
And that we must be very careful about what we do and what we invest our time in and how we go about it. And we need to be reaching out for souls. And we need to be setting people free from devils and sicknesses and diseases like the Lord told us to do. And we need to stay on our knees and altar somewhere or another until we can get to that place that God has commanded for his. I'm telling you, it's like this. If signs don't follow me where I go, I'm going to bring myself into question with God. If I don't have miracles follow my ministry where I go, and I don't see the work of God, the Spirit of God healing people and raising people and delivering people, I have to bring only one thing I have to do, and that's bring myself into question, what am I doing wrong? Because God said, these signs shall follow them that believe.
Amen.
I want to be one of them. Sister, you say?
Go ahead. Brother Yearwood, can I say something to him before he gets off?
Yeah.
What he's talking about his wife being scared, well, up at our church, we've been talking about putting a hedge of protection. If he'll start praying a hedge of protection, the devil cannot get in that hedge of protection. And she can walk anywhere and wherever she wants to, and she will feel safe.
Amen.
Okay. Well, I received that, and that's what I told her. But at the same time, the human mind, she's not from here. So it's really playing with her really hard. But she's hanging in there, and she believes in God. And I'm believing
God.
And
we'll be in prayer. The Lord will take it. The Lord will make it, the good come out of the evil when they try that. So
amen.
She's in our prayers.
Well, okay, thank you. And well, that's what I told her, too, that even this is going to turn out for the good. Because,
right.
Well, yeah, because she's got to overcome fear.
Right.
We can't allow fear to rule us.
No.
So that's what I preach anyway. I tell people that I'm too stupid to be scared. I just don't. I really am. I'm just too stupid to be scared. I believe God is with me.
Yep, he is.
You know,
amen.
People put pistols up. I could see the bullets in the pistol, but they were so stuck right between my eyes with the hammer pulled back on the gun. And I put my hand out and said, I know you're not scared to shoot me, but I want to just be your friend. And listen, we're friends to this day. To this very day, God is a big God.
Yes, he
is a mighty God. God is a God of miracles.
Yep, yep.
God is a God that can supply your need regardless to what you are facing. God is a God that will come on the scene if you will just trust in him with all of your heart and all of your soul and everything that's within you. And I told my wife when she goes back to India, she's trying to get back a ticket now. Her father's had a stroke. And she wants to get back there to lay hands on him and to pray for him and to help him. And so if we can get her back over there, I believe that when she comes back to America again, that she'll be a bolder woman than she's ever been before. And because I think that she knows now what's going on in the world. She knows now that there's enemies out there in this country. It's not like over there in India. In India,
amen.
The people of God, Brother Yearwood, the people of God will get down on their seats, they'll sit on the floor, and they worship God for hours and hours and hours. And they fast. They fast 21 days. It's nothing for those people, the whole church, to do without for 21 days over there. Those people are so discerned that they can almost tell you what your house number is whenever you walk in the door. The power of God is so strong in the worship services there that, as I was saying earlier today, when the men of God was preaching, I couldn't understand a word they were saying, and I was saying, amen, because my spirit agreed with the spirit that they were preaching.
Amen.
I knew. I have not found a place of worship like any one of those, even the smallest of the smallest churches in India. I have not found not one church here that had the power in the worship that I found over there. I'm just, you might not think that I'm telling you the truth, but brother, when a church can sit down on the floor, on the concrete, the men on one side and the women on the other side, and they do that willingly, they leave their shoes off their feet on the outside of the church. They won't even enter in the church with shoes on. They get down there like that and they'll pray. They'll worship God in a song. Sometimes they'll pray in tongues and worship in tongues for 2.5 hours. I've been there. I've been there and I've been in the worship. My wife said to me, "You couldn't tell we were praising God in tongues." I said, "I didn't know. I know y'all was talking in tongues, but, you know, y'all are all talking in tongues to me anyway." So, but to get back to the subject about this axe head and this borrowed axe head, God turned that around. And now, today, I read that scripture on this broadcast. And the scripture is, this event, God is still doing something good out of this event.
Amen.
God is still doing good things out of the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection.
Amen.
And God is still doing good things out of the death of all the apostles.
Right.
And the saints of God that are being killed and martyred even right now over in those foreign countries. And believe me, they are being killed and martyred over there. And when I was in India, in North India, there was a pastor from Australia got his head cut off. And they threw it in the street and dragged his body through the street. And they burned his wife and kids up in his van. Just because he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. But because that man gave his life, there's about 15 new churches in that village. God turned that into something good. God is about turning bad things into good. But sometimes,
Amen.
Sometimes we have to give our life.
Right.
And even in this life now, we have to sacrifice sometimes in a real great way. Brother Yearwood, you sacrifice every day to take care of children. And in your senior age in ministry, you are given a great sacrifice so you can put the Word of God in these little ones' heart. And you sacrifice your time to get on this broadcast and to do whatever you have to do to have this broadcast. And Brother and Sister Green, they sacrifice what they do to share the gospel
Amen.
Of Jesus Christ. And other, we all do our share of sacrificing. And we all do our share of giving to this gospel, those that love God.
Amen.
And those that love God, God will not let not a one hair perish. Not one hair from our head will perish. Not one hair from our head will fall without the attention of the Almighty God.
Amen.
Now, so I'm going to turn this back over to you, Brother Yearwood.
Okay, we sure appreciate you there, Brother Bennett. Is Sister Hazel around there closed?
Well, she had walked outside. I cannot get the signal.
Oh, okay.
But she walked out here and I was talking. She gave it up and came back in. So if you'll bear with me, I'll go to the door. If you would like to have her say a few words, I'll see if I can
hear
her.
Yeah, I'd like to have her say a few words there. Give her an opportunity to.
Okay, well, she's got some testimonies about these bad things turning into good. I don't know which one she would tell, but let's see.
Okay. Let me, what you're getting her, I'll get ready to read these prayer requests off here. Then we'll
okay.
let her give the testimony there then.
Okay.
Praise the Lord, everybody. We have a lot of needs tonight. A lot of people have cancer, so I'm just start reading them off here. We thank God for meeting Sister Frieda's needs and also thank God for meeting our needs this week. And pray for the baby that has rash, that needs a healing.
The subject is
Roy and Martha Sexton, they need healing. Brother and Sister Hicks need God's touch. And pray for little boys that we have, Leland and Lyric, they have needs. And Sister Hampton that had the 23-pound cancer removed from her stomach. She needs God's miracle up on her life. And Clint Hampton, he also needs a healing. And our real friend, Brother Whitaker, died last night. So remember his family. Remember his wife, Noni. And remember Betty and Stephanie. Just remember all these foster kids. They have a lot of needs. And Danny Sizemore has cancer. Fred Branham has cancer. Keith Green, cancer. Florence, cancer. Tay Hurd, cancer. And let's pray for all the listeners that God will meet their needs. And Brother Eddie Bolton has been battling with his back hurting. He heard it while he was in the street service with us, and he's taking therapy. So remember Brother Eddie tonight, because he's real faithful to come on the broadcast with us. And let's remember the foster mom that we're watching her kids for this week. She lost her uncle and had to go up into New York, so she won't be back till Sunday, so pray for that family. And remember all the people that's been affected by this shutdown. There's a lot of people that's really been affected by it. Let's remember the Kevin Miller family that needs prayer. Brother Fritz, pastor of Tellico Plains Church of God, is in the hospital, has been there for 7 days. He's got pneumonia. He told us yesterday that he's running a real high fever that won't break. And tomorrow they're going to be doing some serious tests on him. So just remember him and remember Hazel's father that's had a stroke.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So,
Brother Yearwood, I got one more, if I can interrupt.
Okay.
I've got friend. She had a preemie. I think Friday will be a month. He'll be a month old. But yesterday they had to go in. She's been breastfeeding. He's not holding it down. The flap inside your throat, I think they had to go in and repair it so he could keep it down before they will let him come home. So let's remember him in prayer too.
Okay. We'll remember him, Mark. So, Brother Bennett?
She's not going to come out tonight. She said that she'll do it the next time, brother. She's got her. She's done got something started going in there. I think she's cooking something. Or something.
Okay. All right.
We can't get a signal on the inside of that.
All these requests are then.
Okay.
Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come in agreement right now, Father.
Lord,
that you just touch God every one of these requests.
Lord,
you see them. And Father, you know the ones that
need.
Lord, we just ask you, Father, that you would sanctify and feel the Holy Ghost, God. And Lord, help us all as afflicted as I make healing to them right now. Lord, that you touch, Lord, that you. Lord, we call it done. Father, we call it done in the name of the Father. We speak it by faith, Lord, that they're going to heal, that one make each one of us, God, whole. And Lord, we just praise you, Father. We praise you for this broadcast. Lord, we praise you for this word, God. We're here tonight. Lord, by faith, God. We just pray, Lord, that you touch, God, that you will just move, Father. Upon each and every one of us, God, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it all, God. In Jesus' holy name.
You are a wonderful God.
Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Sister Green?
Yeah, she's coming, Brother Yearwood.
Okay, we got about 11 minutes there, so we'll let her obey the Lord there.
Praise God. Appreciate that, Brother Yearwood. I was thinking there about Adam and Eve and how the serpent there in the garden, how he set out to do evil and how he had tricked Eve and told her a lie and told her, you know, you could go ahead and eat of this tree of knowledge and how it would make you many gods or it would make you wise and know all the things that God knows and how he meant to do evil, and he did just that. And you
Amen.
Know how Brother John was talking about how the plan of salvation, how Jesus reconciled that man back to God. And you know, I was thinking of Egypt and the when the Israelites was there, and God told Moses to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go, and how Pharaoh hardened his heart. God, it's, the Bible says God hardened Pharaoh's heart, but it was the things that God did, like the plagues that came on Egypt, hardened Pharaoh's heart, and then he would decide that he would let the people go, and he'd change his mind, and he'd keep the people. And you know, there was light in Goshen when there was a famine in Egypt, and, you know, Pharaoh's... He was going to keep the Israelites as slaves, and he was just going to keep them there for his own good, and he meant evil for them. But God wanted the people to be let go, and so Moses did what God told him to do, and he would go to Pharaoh each and every time. And finally, they got out of there, and they crossed over in the Red Sea when Pharaoh's army was coming after him. And God made a way when Moses stretched forth his hand, praise God, the sea parted, and they got to go through on dry land. But my whole point here is that there was a Canaan land. There was a promised land for the people. And but Pharaoh, the enemy, he was trying to do something evil. He was trying to keep the people there for his own good. And just like Satan, he's got a motive. How he sends all kinds of diseases and things at God's people and tries to hinder him. He goes to and fro seeking whom he may devour, and he's like a roaring lion, and he's out to devour me and you and all of God's people. And you know how the promised land was promised to the Israelites, and we know the story how they wandered around and around the mountain for 40 years, and how, you know, finally... Caleb and Joshua got to go into the promised land, and the children that were young, they got to go in as well. And you know, I was thinking about how Jesus is coming, and the devil, he wants to stick up his old ugly head, and he wants to rise up, and he wants to stop this plan, just like the Garden of Eden. God had a plan. It was beautiful, and the Garden of Eden was made for you and I, for the people, for Adam and Eve and their children and their children's children. And how the enemy had meant for bad, but, you know, Jesus came on the scene, and he gave his life, and then how now we're looking for Jesus to come again, and this time as King
Amen.
Of Kings, Lord of Lords, and King of Kings, praise God. And you know, the enemy, he wants to, again, when Jesus was born, and the king, the Pharaoh couldn't find Jesus, and he was out to destroy him, so he ordered that all the children, all the male children from 2 and under, that they would all be killed, because he tried to stop Jesus and what Jesus came to do in the first place. And I was thinking about now, we're looking for Jesus again coming, and how the abortions and the laws are being, the decrees are being passed that are trying to stop this mighty army of God. And Joel chapter 2 talks about a mighty army of God, and how
Amen.
They will walk in rank, and they won't break rank, and they won't thrust one another, and they'll be able to leap from mountaintop to mountaintop. And the enemy, he knows the word of God, and he's trying to go ahead, and he's trying to stop the people of God, and he's allowing abortions to come about, and he's trying to oppress them that don't have much in material, because we don't, us that are poor into the world's eyes, we have much in God, but we don't care about the riches of this old world, so we don't have a lot of money for the health care, and he's trying to oppress and allow the abortions to try to stop this mighty army of God, but it can't take place, Brother Yearwood, because I read at the end of the book that we win. The church
Amen.
Wins. Praise God. If you look back there, I'll flip there real quick what it says. The very last words, praise God. If your name, I'm just going to paraphrase this real quick. If your name is written there in the Lamb's Book of Life, if you don't add or take away, praise God, your part will not be blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. But hallelujah. The very last words in the King James Bible, it's Revelations 22, praise God, and the last verse, and grace of our God Jesus be with you all. Amen. So Jesus is with us.
Amen.
He said, I'll be with you all the way to the end of the world. Praise God. I'll be with you always. Praise God. And hallelujah. Brother Yearwood, back to you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Appreciate that wonderful word there, Sister Green. I think these two boys wanting to sing a song, so I'll get them on here. They're 4 and 5 years old, so give them opportunity to do something. You know, the Bible said teach them. Teach a child up in a way that it won't depart from when it is old, you know. And I know that these is 4 and 5 years old, so I think they're going to sing a song here.
They're going to sing Father Abraham.
Buddy. Abraham, have many sons.
Abraham,
I am one of them. And so are you.
We're the best
something there. Oh, Lord. I see we've got about 3 minutes left there, so you know, I really enjoyed this broadcast this evening. I appreciate everything that's been said and everything that's been done. I know that God has heard, and I know that He's answered, and I believe that He's turning the things that the devil meant to be bad for us. I believe He's turning them around for the good. I believe, praise God, that we're going to receive something that is good out of everything that the devil has tried his best to throw at us. I believe God is sitting up there looking down here and saying, well, devil, I'm just going to turn it around for them, and I'm going to give them the good side of everything. You know, praise God, God is going to give us our needs. He's going to give us our blessings. And like the sister was talking about there a while ago, about her light bill, she said she didn't know how she was going to get it paid. But God come on the scene. One church paid so much of it, and another church is going to finish it off. And, you know, that's a miracle from God. And, you know, that's just the way God does. He may have to take two or three different ones to meet our needs, but He will do it. And the devil gets a black eye out of it. So I just praise God for him. I praise God because He's able to meet our needs. He's willing to forgive us everything that we have the need of. A lot of times me and Betty has to stand on Philippians 4:19. We have to just stand and get joined hands and start crying out, God, you said in Philippians 4:19 that my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus, in glory by Christ Jesus. And, you know, that's what we've got to do. We just have to stand on Philippians 4:19 and just join in faith and believing. And, you know, praise the Lord. God come on the scene for us this week and met one of our needs. And, you know, I just thank God because He is turning everything around that the devil is trying to destroy and try to dishearten. And if we're just standing believing and standing in faith, God will take care of us. And I just praise God for it. So we've got 60 seconds left, so we just say that we're glad each and every one of you called in tonight. We appreciate you. We love you. And all of our listeners, we did get an email there this week send that we was reaching over 1 million people. And so I thank God for the 1 million people that we are reaching out to. So God bless you, and we'll be talking to you next Tuesday. Lord's will, nothing don't happen. So just Brother Green, Brother Franklin, Bennett, we sure do appreciate you, and we'll be talking to you later on.
Okay, God bless.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.